Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Bill Glenn back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bill is the founder of Collective IQ. He's a venture capitalist. He's an author. He's an entrepreneur. He's been doing a lot of these things very successfully for a number of years. His book is called Left on Red: How to Ignite, Leverage, and Build Visionary Organizations. And he's our good friend, Bill Glenn. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. Here I am.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, one of the things I know that's been kind of stuck in your craw and eating at you a little bit is this whole borrow and spend mentality that not just our government has now, but that our culture has had for some time now. Talk to us about your thoughts on that.
Well, it's credit addiction. When the market blew up, I think everyone had to go to rehab. I mean, at the end of the day, think of it as a household. So as a household, you know, I make money. So I'm going to go to my wife and say, you know what, honey, I'm going to make less money. I'm going to give back some of my money to whomever in the form of tax cuts. So I'm going to cut my overall revenue. And you know what? In order to make up for that, I'm going to borrow more money than I can actually ever afford to repay, put that into the company. And oh, by the way, let me just tell you, we're actually going to have a $2 trillion loss while we're at that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it was a company, we'd be more than bankrupt. We'd certainly be insolvent. We'd have to record the $111 trillion of unfunded liabilities, which we all know are contingent liabilities. The board of directors would be fired. Management would be fired.
Somebody would go to jail, maybe.
I think a whole bunch of them would.
Well, if the irony is, the government folks have ironclad regulations and statutes on how a bank and an insurance company should operate their business, because they handle your money, and they close these businesses up, and they fire people, and they put people in jail, and they take them over if they behave in a certain way. The irony is what our government has done puts all that on steroids, isn't it?
Oh, worse. I mean, it's not ironclad; it's tinfoil. So it's malleable, so people can, you know, bend it any way they want and fit it to whatever container that they're selling and pandering to the American people. You know, if I were president and I was running for president, I would stand up there in front of the American people and say, you know what I'm going to promise you when I get elected? Nothing. That's what I'm going to promise you, because I have no idea how catastrophic our government and our nation's finances actually are. And you add everything up, and, you know, it is over, let's just say, $140, $150 trillion.
Let's put this in perspective. The total American assets have been estimated to be somewhere around $50 trillion.
Well, if you look at assets and you look at assets under management, you know, under management several years ago, you know, companies, institutions, pensions, endowments, unions, 401ks, etc., that were managed by institutional money managers had very close to $100 trillion under management. And, you know, my opinion was, why wouldn't, you know, since they own treasuries, why wouldn't we create a law that says, hey, for the next 5 or 7 years, not individuals but institutions, you have to invest an extra 10% of your portfolio into a U.S. debt buyback fund, which, of course, would raise the stock market more than 10% to offset that, because it would be the day that America could finally buy its way out of debt. That debt pool would be a tremendous investment. It would be great for the market, save America, buy back our national debt, and you can use mechanisms inside that fund to guarantee repayment in 10 years. I mean, to me, it seems like a great strategy. And, you know, maybe it's too easy.
Would that be the kind of thing, though, that would slow the recovery of the economy? Would that be something that would be some people would have a hard time swallowing?
Yeah, I'm sure they
government because without voters, because without leverage, you've got a slower recovery.
Well, let's just say that leverage from a institution is much different than a corporation, because these are pension plans, union plans, endowment plans. These are for all the employees, all the major investors, and they're looking at, you know, portfolio growth, return, etc. Then investing 10% of that portfolio in a U.S. debt buyback fund, and they put 10% of that money to work, well, the stock market's going to go way up over 10%.
Mm-hmm.
The equity value of their portfolio will go through the roof,
right.
And they're making a very high-quality investment and saving our country.
Wouldn't this also be a hedge? Not a hedge, but wouldn't this also be a mechanism that would keep inflation in line?
Oh, absolutely, because you could buy back the hordes of currency as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do a buyback program when companies have confidence in their economy. Oftentimes, they buy back, you know, blocks of stock and buy back their outstanding debt.
Yeah.
And the company gets very healthy, does very well. Well, right now, if we don't do something, right, if we just do what we're doing now, we're going to assure the world that we are going to go bankrupt eventually. And also, we're going to lose more confidence than we already have in the world. And if they don't show up at our treasury auction, or they hike the prices
right.
of our treasuries like they did in Great Britain, what our way of life is jeopardized.
Well, there are some companies that we've both seen that we could tell that they were going bankrupt before they actually were bankrupt.
Oh yeah,
and so that's what you're talking about with the United States right now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Think of this. Here's a thought for you: the sovereignty of the United States of America is transferred now in the hands of foreign nations. As a capitalist nation...
Because they hold our debt.
Right. Our sovereignty. Now, the U.S. and institutions here own, let's say, roughly 60% of the debt. Well, cut out the 20-plus percent that the federal programs like Social Security, mm-hmm. Medicare, and Medicaid own. I mean, that makes Madoff look like a walk in the park. We need, right now, $40 trillion in the bank, in cash, to fund, over the next 50 years, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Hold on to that thought, Bill Glenn. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to see if Bill has anything that he likes about how things are going. I think he probably does. Left Unread is his book, 20 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you.
The late, great Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back with Nexus from the Innocent Age album. I encourage you to check that out. It's a good album. It's a double album. There isn't a bad song on all the 20 or so songs on that album. 23 After, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for joining me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Blasingame. When you go to my website, you can find lots of stuff that will help you with your small business. If you got something you want to read, you want to listen to, you can ask a question, you can subscribe to my newsletter, subscribe to my blog, lots of stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bill Glenn is our guest. He's our good friend, the author of Left on Red. Bill, give us your website and tell us how we can find you.
BillyG.net.
BillyG.net. And they can find your book wherever books are sold, Left on Red, How to Ignite, Leverage, and Build Visionary Organizations. Bill, you painted a pretty dark, dire picture for us in the first segment. Is there anything you see out there that you're hopeful about with regard to America?
Well, I got to be honest with you, no. You know, it'll brighten up, our future will brighten up, and everyone will rally around, yeah, the economy's coming back, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we have hyperinflation coming down the path. $1 trillion out there buried in other loans that are going to come to fruition. Our consumption economy is stalled.
You're talking about loans that are about to, the reset's about to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the contingent liability of that.
No, I'm just talking about, residential jumbos, commercial real estate, all sorts of things. And, you know, here, my personal opinion is this country's moral, spiritual, social compass is so out of whack. Decay of our whole country is from within. Same thing happened to Rome. And the world, even over in Russia, they predicted this for quite some time, that this point in history would happen to us. We'll look back in history and be like, okay, Nixon and the gold standard was one of the worst things that ever happened. Slavery was one of the worst things that ever happened. Our entitlement society is horrifying. And again, you know, we see everything from urban hip-hop to gang violence and decay of infrastructure, and all we can do to solve all these issues, all Washington can do, and what they are doing, is borrow so much money from the rest of the world and then spend it.
And they're proposing new programs that they now know won't pay for themselves, that will take more borrowing. So what do we do, Bill? What is a small business owner in Main Street America deal with all this negative information that you got here?
Well, it's difficult. Here's the fact. In any city across town, whatever, consumption has screeched to a halt. Now, some people may have a virtual monopoly in their town where they own the hardware shop or the barber shop or anything
else.
Not
too many of those anymore.
I know. But the fact is that since consumption is down, and I tell you, I might be a geek or something like that, but I drive around, and we went through one of the strip malls the other day where there's a movie theater, and every single store there had, quote, blowout sales.
Mm-hmm.
Strasburg, Cache Lux, I mean, you look around the whole country, these businesses are going down left and right. And, you know, look at CIT. So the government, people don't realize, they already got bailed out. Now they have to turn around and, you know, take on debt to refinance old debt at 10.5% interest. So, yeah, they make a lot of guaranteed, you know, back up a lot of small business loans and everything else. But that thing, you know, just took on or is taking on a huge debt load just to buy themselves some time, hopefully, to work this whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, small businesses are and will be just devastated across this country, especially with some of the health care reform and some of the taxes.
Some of the policies.
Well,
one of the things, what I think I hear you saying is something that really I think we all know, and that is that the marketplace has to reset itself. But the big mistakes that cause that resetting to take longer and to be harder to work out of happen mostly because of government policies.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fact is, I would love to get on the radio and say, you know what, small businesses, there's a windfall of money come to you, there's tax breaks, there's strategies that you can employ in your small business. I can do them one-off. If you came to me and a company did a small, you know, business and said, you know, we're a glass etching company. You know what we do? We put those little letters up on people's doors, you know, it says executive,
right,
vice president or whatever. And what do we do? What do we do to grow, and how do we do that? And I said, what? Go to the real estate investment trust and go cut a major deal with just even one of them, and you all of a sudden lock up all their office space. You know,
yeah.
To me, it sounds
I will tell you, though, Bill, I believe that the next era that we're going to go into, which I think after this year we're going to be entering a new era that will be different from anything we've ever seen before, I do believe that small business owners will play a bigger part in the success of that than they've ever played before. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. However, they're going to be lean and mean, too. That means they're going to unemploy a lot of people.
They're going to use a lot of technology and a lot more outsourcing. But outsourcing means more new businesses.
Well, yeah, and small businesses oftentimes don't even realize that they can outsource a lot of just their accounting and all that stuff. Now, a lot of them do, but small businesses, I'm talking about, you know, 200 to 300, 400, 500 employees, these companies are so hobbled. You know, even if they're in software, great, they're making good margins. If they're in product, I mean, look at the auto dealers. Let's call them a small business.
Yeah.
Their lots are full of cars.
Right.
People can't or won't buy apparel. People can't or won't buy massages.
Bill, I got to wrap it up, but I appreciate your cautionary language and your cautionary tale today. Thank you for being here. Bill Glynn, ladies and gentlemen, GLYNN.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.